Right, and welcome back to the Narnia Web Council. It's been a long time since all of us have talked together, so we council members have just missed each other, but we are ready. We are ready to discuss the Fox and Walden news, and everyone else is giggling because this is our third take. hey, keeps it spontaneous.
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah, we've got, today we have Jintz joining us, who hasn't been on the podcast for a while, but it's really great to have her back. Jintz, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
And we have Jimfan joining us. Jimfan, welcome again.
Thank you.
And Glumfuddle, welcome back.
Hello.
Ironic that your name is Glumfuddle and you've been the one who's been most optimistic through this whole thing.
This is true, but then again, Puddleglum, my favorite character, of course, was known for actually being pretty optimistic, even in the darkness of Underland. He reminded the children that, hey, we're following Aslan signs, and be dying down here will save funeral expenses, so.
whereas my favorite character is Reba Cheap, and who has a preoccupation with death and glory, so I don't know how that works out.
Okay.
Anyway, we have, of course, the news with Fox and Walden to talk about today, but I thought I'd start it off. What? Do tell. Yeah, I thought I'd start it off with reading one of our emails. Some of you may remember that at the end of the last podcast, I said, you know, what we're going to do with emails from now on is if you have a comment you want read on or a question you want addressed on the podcast, then you just send us an email to rillian@narniaweb.com with the subject line podcast. And that way, you know, if you want to just post a comment or something, then you can go to iTunes and give us a review, because that actually helps our popularity so more people can listen and get exposed to the podcast. But we have an email here from the Razman, and he says, "Hi gang, the Razman here. Huge fan of this show, as well as Rillian and Glumpuddle's YouTube blogs. Hopefully you guys can tell me what you think of mine on YouTube once I get a new headset." Okay. "My question is, are you happy with the Fox partnership news? I, like others, am just hoping that Fox's involvement doesn't cause an Aragon-like effect on our beloved Narnia, further up and further in." Okay. So how do we feel about it being Fox? Because we knew there were other companies involved, too, possibly, maybe, that were interested, but Jintz, why don't you go first?
My thoughts on it are that I am happy that it's being made. Whether or not Fox is a good idea, I don't know enough about the company itself to have an opinion on it, so I'm just watching very, very closely, I have to say. If they put a foot wrong, that'll be it. I'll be up in arms about everything. But yeah, I'm happy that it's getting made, and I'm happy that we've got the decision.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jimfan, what do you think?
I'm in the wait and see mode. Like Jint said, I don't know that much about Fox, but what I do know about their big franchises has not been that great, so I'm a little worried about that. I don't know if that could be a potential problem for Don Treader, because they've got a pretty bad adaption record. So right now we're just sitting back and waiting and seeing if this is going to work out, because we really have no idea.
Waiting.
Yeah.
I'm
getting tired of that.
And Glumple, I think you're sort of in the same boat, aren't you?
A little bit. I mean, I think my reaction, like most people, was kind of, oh, well, thank God it's getting made. Even though I kind of felt like all the signs pointed to it was going to get made, it was still a huge relief to finally have a new deal get signed in. But I do kind of have similar concerns about Fox, especially in recent years, does not have a good track record. Not just fantasy, but kind of films in general. They haven't really released anything all that great in the past few years. And, I mean, they released The Seeker with Walden Media, which got, I mean, I know just haven't really heard a lot of good things about it. It got 13% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh.
And they also did Aragon, which I also know was another not particularly liked film.
Yeah, please, Glumpuddle, watch your language. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, I saw that movie too. I spent money to pay for it in theaters, and I came out and I thought the money I spent could have paid for who knows how many children's monthly things in China, in Africa, you know.
But
this amount will pay for their shoes.
The real question is though, like, how much of it? I mean, if it's the same kind of deal with Disney, where Walden just makes the movie, then they're going to hand it to Fox. Fox just does marketing and distribution. How much does it really have an effect? I think that's kind of the big question for me. Right now, my thought is, thank God it's getting made, and also I like the fact that Fox is a smaller studio.
Yeah.
I think that's better for Narnia.
Well, I think that, I mean, I'm not, as far as Fox having a bad track record, as far as Aragorn, well, for one thing, you have not too great subject material, and there's actually an interesting little backstory on what happened with the scripts and how there was a script that was written, and then it just got apparently a couple new guys came in, completely rewrote it. A lot of the fans, because I wasn't really a fan of Aragorn, but I looked on the forums a couple times just to see, hey, what went wrong? Because the book wasn't horrible, it just wasn't that great. I thought, this is weird. I would think that the movie would actually end up being better. But so that one wasn't handled well. The Seeker, I haven't read the book, or books, I suppose, since there's a trilogy of some sort. But I'm not too concerned, because I think I could probably say the same thing about Disney as far as producing good films. I think the last great film Disney did in-house was probably the Beauty and the Beast. And then Lion King was really good, and I liked Lion King. But, I mean, none of the Pixar films were done in-house. Well, at least, then they bought Pixar, which is kind of cheating. But, I don't think even the Pirates films were done in-house.
Well, those weren't adaptions. Those are original things. You know, you can do whatever you want with them. No one's going to care.
Right.
True. But my point is that I think whether it's adapted or not, there's a point where a studio is going to make good films. And, if I found out that, you know, for some reason Walden decided that it was, you know, okay, this is it, we're not going to try, I'd be going, no, this is doomed. But I think the fact that it's still Walden doing it is going to, you know, I think the films aren't really going to change that much. And I think that maybe Fox will, because they're Fox and not Disney, the difference there was they might be less inclined to interfere. But that's just
speculation. Well, I got the impression that Fox is going to be more involved with the making than Disney was. I mean, they're going 50-50 on the budget. And I mean, he who holds the money holds the power. And even though they're distributing it, they're not really making it. They're still going to be able to have power to make executive decisions. We know that the script has to be approved together. Fox has to approve it. They're working on that together. They're working together a lot. It's not just Walden. Fox is involved somewhat more than Disney was, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just been a few days. We don't really know to what extent, but that was just the impression I was getting.
Maybe. I mean, I think that's kind of a basic thing before you make a deal that, well, we got to agree on the script. It just sounds to me like they haven't really nailed down the script yet, is what's going on.
It's right.
So that's gonna work out.
Yeah.
And obviously, even if on paper Fox doesn't have any say, that doesn't mean they're not going to have a lot of input. And Walden, if they're smart, is obviously going to try to come to they're going to want to please Fox. They're not just going to ignore them, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What did you guys think of the new script guy that came along?
Yeah, never heard of
that
him.
That was interesting.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I looked
I was
up.
Expecting the script to be done by the same guys again this time around, though.
It was supposed to.
Stephen Knight. Yeah, like we knew that like Stephen Knight had come on and he was, you know, doing stuff. And this is the first I'd heard of this guy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he did Freedom Riders. He did Freedom Riders, which I have not seen, but I've heard is excellent.
That was good.
Is it? Okay, and he did The Horse Whisperer. I've heard is also good. He did the Little Princess, which Mark Johnson worked on.
So he's
producer.
Got connections, and apparently he's been nominated for an Oscar before. So that's always good.
He sounds like a good. It sounds
like
to me like
anything.
They kind of.
Yeah, but let's.
Well,
we're just saying.
You're just ticked off about Dark Knight. That's all that you're upset
and
about.
And Prince Caspian a little bit. Come on, give it.
Prince Caspian deserved
sound editing.
The
one
makeup
of those.
Was better. They deserved.
I was shocked actually that they didn't get any. I thought they were at least going to get one.
Yeah, I just said, well, Prince Caspian is just too good a quality movie to get an Oscar. That's all.
Exactly.
That's why Star Wars didn't win Best Picture in 1977 or 78. But, I mean, it sounds to me like with this guy, it's like, okay, we want to, you know, we'll work with you, but, and, I mean, I don't know whose idea to bring this guy on. It might have been Mark Johnson's, but it sounds like they really just want to make Voyage of the Dawn Treader a really good movie. And so they say, hey, let's bring in this guy who's a really good scriptwriter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's obviously got connections with Walden, so there's, you know, let's look through all the writers we've worked with, and this one seems good. You know, we've liked what he did, so let's call him in.
Mm-hmm.
But he might not even be available. That was another, you know, postscript that was on the articles. They weren't even sure if he was going to be available to do it.
Gents, any thoughts?
On the new scriptwriter?
Yeah, or just the script process in general.
I'm happy about the new scriptwriter. I'm just looking at his work, like the list on IMDb just now, and it's quite impressive. So I'm glad to know that he's had a bit of a hand in it. But as they say in that Variety article, they don't know how available he's going to be for any further work on the script. So it's another wait and see, unfortunately.
Sort of funny. Yeah. I'm just looking at the forum, at his little forum down here. I see gifted writer, truly inspiring, fantastic person. I'm thinking, oh, that's good. But apparently he's an actor and a director, too. Or he's a director. He directed Freedom Riders, and he directed P.S. I Love You, and a few others.
Hey, as long as it's not anything terribly, you know, wrong from the book, like certain other things we've seen, I don't really care.
Certain other things.
Let's not go there, please. I was having a good day.
I'll tell you one interesting thing about this little piece of trivia about Fox is that they're owned by News Corp, and News Corp owned HarperCollins.
That is
Chronicles of Narnia. So basically you've got News Corp owns the company that publishes the books and the company that's going to be releasing the movie. And I have no idea if they'll have any effect.
Yeah, I would really like to see the Chronicles become more popular as books again.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to, and I just really like to see, I'm not really sure how they would do it or how I would do it even, but I'd really like to see the books being advertised again, just done really well. So people, because the thing is, like with Harry Potter, I mean, the Chronicles are older and, in my opinion, just more better written books. But, of course, Harry Potter has this modern fan base, and if they can build something, at least get out some of the books so people are going, oh, you know, wow, I actually like these books. You know, I'm interested to see the movie because I actually will actually like the books now. Then I think that would help. And I'd kind of like to see that happen.
Yeah.
Because The Lord of the Rings, you know, still had this huge book fan base, but I felt like Narnia outside of the Christian community didn't really have the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just one of those, as far as like advertising for it, it's just one of those things where it's the classic and everyone, you know, you kind of know it, and it's kind of past the days of advertising it, you know? It's just, it's a classic. Mm-hmm. It's not the kind of thing you're actively trying to market per se.
Yeah.
I have an uncle who, it's so funny, he saw the first movie and he really didn't like it. He liked Prince Caspian pretty good. He liked it, he actually really enjoyed that, but he didn't like the first movie. He said, oh, Isaac, I read the books in college and I was amazed and I was so blown away. And they're such incredible books. And he said, I read all 10 of them. And I'm going, excuse me? And he had really no real memory of it. He just remembered thinking that it was awesome. That was all that mattered. And he didn't remember. I said, do you remember Reepy Cheep? He said, that sounds like a dirty game or something we're talking about. But no, it was
just
funny.
That's how it is for a lot of people, I think. It's like they have very fond memories of reading them, but they don't necessarily remember details. In fact, I think Andrew Adamson was one of those people. And I think the line that was in the wardrobe, the wardrobe film in particular, spoke to those kind of people, and that's why it did well. I remember that font guy, you know.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people who get mixed up between the books as well.
Yeah.
Like they'll say, thing, you know, didn't such and such happen in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and you're having to say, no, actually, that was Prince Caspian, or, you know.
One of my friends, not a long time ago, like a few months ago, like I was sort of telling her about what I thought of Prince Caspian, and she goes, wait a second, isn't this the one with the ship? And this is just like a few months ago, and she's like, I don't remember anything about Prince Caspian. She thought this one was the one with the ship.
No.
Well, maybe she can still go to heaven. Maybe. I want to say she still can go to heaven.
Well, the truth is, if there's, see, that's one of the reasons I think Prince Caspian, that was one of the things that was going against it from the beginning, and one of the things that's really working in Don Treader's favor, is that Prince Caspian, if there's one book in the series people haven't read, it's almost always Prince Caspian.
Yeah.
The one book where they kind of felt like they could skip it. And if there's one book where they don't really have any images that they remember, there's just nothing about it that sticks with them, it's always Prince Caspian. Whereas with Don Treader, I think that's up there
you've
with Wardrobe
so
as
much
far as
in
some
that book.
People really remember.
You've got the ship, you've got, and the thing about Don Treader is it's so happy. I mean, there's no big battles, there's no big sad
not
things.
Yet there isn't.
Yeah, not
don't
yet,
curse
but...
it
no.
There's no battles, there's no villain trying to kill anybody. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Don't give him any ideas.
No romance.
You have a dragon. We like the dragon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dragon.
Oh, that's right. There's a dragon.
The duffel pods.
Yep.
Good stuff. Dark Island. That's another image I always really remember.
Oh, I remember the Dark Island. I hope. I mean, there's so many things that. I'm just wondering, you know, how they can do some things well, because there's some things that work so well in a book, and they don't work as well in when you do a movie. Like Peter Jackson has said, he thinks one of the weakest parts of the movie, The Lord of the Rings, that came across so well in the book was the Eye of Sauron.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
He said it was really powerful in the book, but he said in the movie, it you know, he said, I don't think it came across
definitely.
That well. And I'm thinking about things like the Dark Island and such. I think it as if they really try to stay true to the spirit of the book and don't try to take it into another direction of, oh, let's make it epic. Then,
exactly.
You know, for instance, you throw the duffel puds in a movie that's supposed to be epic.
No.
And then it just, it comes across as wrong, you know. But if you keep it as, this is an adventure. Very children's tale of this magical world where they have these great adventures, then yes, that can be, you know, the duffel puds will work.
Right, and it's supposed to be fun, it's supposed to be light, it's not supposed to be deep or heavy or epic or huge.
Well, I don't know, it is kind of deep at points. I think it is deep at points, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah. For the characters and everything, but not so much like this huge, like, epic battles or anything, or these great sweeping wide shots that cost millions of dollars. It's a much more personal story.
Yes.
Yep.
It is much more personal, and I think a lot of the, really, the kind of conflicts here with, for instance, with, you know, I talked about kind of discovery and, I mean, really Eustace, what he learns about himself, and even when he learns about Reepy Cheep, how he and Reepy Cheep become good friends.
Yeah.
And you don't have that kind of bonding of friendship in the other stories to that degree. Maybe the next one that comes to mind would be The Silver Chair with Glumpuddle and how the kids come to admire him.
Yeah, with me, Glumpuddle. You know, I'm in the silver.
Puddle Glum.
With Glumpuddle.
Puddle
That's
Glum.
A good Freudian slip there.
Oh, well, it's not Freudian.
No, no.
It's a Louisian
slip. I've decided that if people make that mistake anticipating Silver Chair, I'm not going to correct them. And with a little luck, maybe the person who types up the credits for Silver Chair will be a Narnia ever. And then it'll say that, you know, Bruce Spencer, whoever, is playing Glumpuddle.
That would be so classic. Remember when they misspelled, of course, one of the Narnia Webbers we have is Jackson Hall, who was in the first film, and they misspelled his name in the credits. I thought, that's sad. But
now I just want to say that I'm really happy that we're past all this studios, well, pretty much, we're past all this kind of the studio talk, and we can move on and start talking about the real issues, like, oh, how are they going to adapt this part, and oh, I hope they have my favorite scene in, and we finally really start getting into this real Don Treader anticipation and what they're going to do with this beloved story.
Right. And my only hope is that just because of this whole Disney leaving, Fox coming thing, that we won't treat Don Treader as an extra and say, oh, well, it's okay if they do this. I'm just happy they're making it anyway. We need to be just as tough on them as we would be with anyone else. Because if it's not good,
we will be.
Then never mind, you know?
Yeah.
Don't make it easy. Don't say, oh, it's all
said.
Right if you add
Jim
some Fan
is little. Telling Glumpuddle, don't make it easy.
I was just talking about that, actually. How with my philosophy with Don Treader is going to be very different than Prince Caspian, or with Prince
Definitely
Caspian, just from
too.
Day one. I just, it was not long after Wardrobe came out, actually, I started thinking about Prince Caspian going, oh man, how are they going to do this? And it was one of those very few situations where I kind of said, well, they'll probably have to change that. and oh, I don't know how they're going to get that scene in, and gosh, how are they going to make this movie at all? And so I was a little more forgiving and cutting them some slack and saying, well, let's just try to make a lot of changes and stay true to the spirit. And with Dawn Treader, that's not the case at all. I really feel like, you know, any book has its challenges, any book has its things that need to be adapted for film, but overall, Dawn Treader is a much more cinematic story, and also, on top of that, it's my favorite book, so I'm going to be a lot more
Definitely.
Strict about changes.
Yeah, so people, if you thought Gunpowder was being mellow over the past few years, don't worry, it's not going to last.
Yeah.
It was definitely being kind of soft the past few years.
Oh, now you admit it. So you finally admit it. You admit to the charges laid on you from one particular Narnia lover that you've grown soft.
Yes, I admit to growing soft, but
it
was intentional. It was intentional. I said, okay, for Prince Caspian, I'll be soft. I'll cut him a lot of slack. For Dawn Treader, I mean, I think one of the things I tried to do with Caspian, since I knew that there were so many uncinematic things, was to always have a very good reason for not liking a change and really come out, well, this is why this particular change, this is why they're crossing the line. With Dawn Treader, I think I'll still do that, but there will be a lot more things where I just don't like it because, well, I love that scene. They can't change it, and that's kind of the only reason, because I love Dawn Treader so much.
Well, there'll be some points like where I'll have to say, like, okay, I'm trying to think of an example. Okay, just the story structuring, Prince Caspian. I'm thinking, okay, they're going to have to restructure the story. I would restructure the story. Let's see how they do it. Let's critique how they do it. But they're, you know, so that's my attitude there. But here, I'm going, what do you mean? You're planning on restructuring the story of Voyage of the Dawn Treader?
No,
you don't have to restructure the story.
Ruin everything.
Right.
So there's some things where I'm going to say, wait, why are you changing that? I mean, you really, you know, with Prince Caspian, it was, oh, you're changing it? Oh, okay, well, what are you changing it to? Right. Here, it's, wait, you're changing it? Why?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just hard for us because, I mean, this is so everyone's favorite book. And now we're basically starting over again with a new company, new direction, new whatever. And they're like, well, we don't know what's going to happen.
Not completely new direction. They have the same director and cast that was set up.
I kind of like, it feels like a fresh start. A new studio, a new director. Like it's,
but they're not.
It almost feels like going back to the beginning with Before Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's like, oh, what are these people going to do to our beloved books? It's kind of fun, actually. I also think that these 5 weeks of kind of being in, not being quite sure if it was going to get made, were really good for Narnia Webbers, or really good for me, I think, because it was
it made me really
appreciate the fact that these movies are getting made, and not take it like Harry Potter fans just take it, you know, at this point just obviously take for granted that they're going to make a lot of Harry Potter movies, and to sort of have that assumption taken away for a few weeks, and then to have it come back, like it was really it felt like discovering for the first time, like, oh, Dawn Treader, that would make such a cool movie. It felt like kind of thinking that, having that initial excitement come back. And so I think I'm more excited than ever to see Dawn Treader being adapted into a film.
Definitely. I'm just glad we're going to see it. So.
Any final thoughts here from your perspective?
Yeah, I'm, like Glumpuddle, I'm excited. I am choosing to be optimistic about the unknown. And yeah, I just can't wait to start getting the proper news stories in and the pictures, and yeah, it's going to be great, and I can't wait.
Funny you should mention that. I was just talking to Starcat yesterday, and she was saying how she thinks that Fox doesn't do the same kind of marketing that Disney does, and we might not get. Or we were discussing the possibility that maybe we won't get as many behind the scenes videos or stuff like that, and so it'll be different. This will be. As far as like marketing and the timeline of it, we can't really compare this to the previous two films as much.
No.
So it's one more situation where it feels like square one, a fresh start, new marketing, new studio, new director, and a new release date for the fifth time.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, finally. No, but we don't really have a release date, though.
You know they're shooting
time for
holiday. And I love what Minotaur for Aslan was saying on his latest video. He's saying, you know, like 6 months ago, I was saying, yeah, you know, Dawn Treader is going to be starting soon. And he was kind of thinking, I kind of expected by now we'd be well into production. And now we're like, yay, Dawn Treader's getting made. So it's just kind of back to the beginning.
Just for people out there, you know, a lot of you know that Ghost Glumbuddle did a video blog. I'm doing a video blog. Minotaur for Aslan is doing a video blog as well. And you owe it to yourselves, Narnia Webbers, to go and check them out. They are hilarious
and
truly genius. They're hysterical.
I think it's just one more thing to do when we're waiting for news. Oh, let's see what's going on YouTube, so we can get a.
That's
bunch
right, because I don't have classes or tutorials or
right,
or
exactly.
Anything.
Well, I don't have anything to do occupy with your mind about Narnia until you're waiting for some more news on it.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the next for the first little teaser poster to come out, so the picture on my mobile can, you know, the little wallpaper can be you know.
But,
all right. Well, this was.
There's a lot of issues we didn't really have time to discuss in this one, like Will Poulter. And we'll discuss those in the
How
future.
Tall is he now?
I don't know. It's ironic that the news about the studio came on his birthday, since the big discussion now
Happy
is
birthday,
kind of
Will.
His age.
Wait, he's 15? 14?
I think he's 16.
Is he?
I don't know.
16?
He's really old.
I think he is 16.
Wow.
Man. Huh.
He's really old.
The others are going to
really
be older too, so.
That's true. Well, I mean, Georgie basically shot up right after they filmed Prince Caspian, so she was going to look old no matter what, because she's just, just grown up.
Yeah, well, right, the big thing, of course, is that his age in proportion to Georgie's, I think, and barring some disruption in the space-time continuum, we can assume that they're aging at the same rate. So that's...
Yeah, which rules are they following? Are they following Back to the Future time continuum rules? Are they following the Terminator space-time continuum rules? Or the Time Cop rules, which are ridiculous anyway? I don't know. All right, well, this was really fun. And it's been good. It's good to get a good group of people back again for the council. It's been one-on-one for too long.
Yeah.
Way too long.
All right, well, it begins. It really does
it
feel
begins
like it,
again.
It's beginning. Voyage of the Dawn Treaders coming back.
It beginneth.
New company, new movie, yay!
New director, let's go.
Yeah!
Yeah, going new director, woo, new director. All right, well, thank you all very much. And, of course, if anyone wants to email us with our email us with questions or comments, you know, if you want a question for the podcast, then just include podcast in the subject line as the subject, and you can email it to rillian@narniaweb.com. And you guys want to throw out your emails out there if they have a specific question for you?
Yeah, just our screen name @narniaweb.com.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mine might be a little bit different because I don't think I have one of those.
Right,
if
so
you need to contact
yours...
me, you can email me at webmaster@spareoom.net. It's my website, so if you can't find the email, just go on my website and click on the contact link, and it's all there.
Right, and if you actually get a bounce back with your email because you were foolish enough to type in spareroom.net, then you deserve to get your email bounced back because you're not a true Narnia fan.
Yep. Narnia spelling.
All right, Narnia spelling. All right, thank you, everyone. Good to chat with you.
Further up and further in.
Further up and further in.
Yep. Here we go again.